Blog Talk Radio.
Today, 21st of November. Well, let's do the birthdays first. Voltaire, the great French writer and philosopher. And we had Sir Samuel Cunard, the guy who started the shipping company, famous Cunard line, and they know they had the Queen Mary's and the Queen Elizabeth's, which were ships, one of the best liners, among the best liners in the world, and they, during World War II, they were painted khaki and were used to transport troops, American troops, to Australia. Great Hungarian Jewish actor, Charles Corbin, and you see him in the movie playing the captain of the tramp steamer in Ship of Fools, a book by Catherine Ann Porter. Jim Bishop, author, who wrote Today That Lincoln Died, birthday today. Eleanor Powell, who was married to Glenn Ford, she played in Interrupted Melody, which was about the great Australian soprano Marjorie Lawrence, who contracted polio and sang Tristan and Isolde on the Metropolitan stage. She was in a wheelchair, and I think they had one son. Later they got divorced. She was Eleanor Powell was quite a dancer, I understand. Great Red Sox baseball player, Stan the Man Musial, and now they're trying to get this Latino from the Giants, Pablo Sandoval, we shall see. And a great black musician, conductor, the nephew of Marian Anderson, James the Priest, who also had polio. Black conductors have never been really accepted to be chief conductors of major American orchestras. They had to go abroad to make recordings, like to Finland and to Germany. On the other hand, women made it big time on the metropolitan opera stages and other stages around the United States. I don't know what there is. Black women are acceptable, but black men as chief conductors are not. James the Priest later came back to Oregon, came back to the United States, and became a conductor of the Oregon Symphony. Very fine musician who died recently. We have a black conductor over in Oakland, California, who was an assistant at the Chicago Symphony, but he never got the job as chief conductor. Excuse me. Among the deaths today, one of the vice presidents, Vice President Garrett August Hobart, died on this day in 1916, since this is the 100th anniversary of World War I. Franz Joseph, who was probably one of the longest reigning male monarchs and emperors in world history. The other one was Louis XIV, Louis XIV. And a great boxer who fought Joe Louis twice, Max Beyer. And, of course, this was during the 30s when Hitler was bragging about the superiority of the Teutonic race. And also, among 1987, Kissing Jim Folsom, who was a longtime governor of Alabama. We're having a similar situation in California with Jerry Brown. They get voted out of office, and then they come back to run and rerun. You know, these people don't realize it's time to get the crook out and let somebody else govern the state and the country. Events today, we had the first black in America. His name was Richard Johnson. He was a free black in 1654. He was granted 550 acres in, of all places, Virginia. Believe it or not, Andrew Jackson had studied law. Of course, it was different in those days. And he got his... he was admitted to the bar, and he used to sometimes settle cases by beating people with his cane or threatening to have a duel with them. North Carolina on this date in 1789 became the 12th state to ratify the Constitution. And in 1818, Tsar Alexander I wanted to free the – he proposed Palestine as a Jewish state. He wanted to get rid of the Jews in Russia. In 1877, Edison invented the talking machine. And in 1933, the first American ambassador was appointed by FDR to go to Russia, William C. Bullitt. And in 1959, Jack Benny and Nixon had a duet, but we'll play that Monday. Now, among the political animals today, we have November is the month for great World War II generals of both sides. And among the generals born in November was George Patton. He was born on November 11, 1885, died or was killed or assassinated on 12/21/1943. Bernard Montgomery, who hated Patton and Patton hated him, thought he was a martinet, was born 11/17/1899, and he died March 24, 1976. The great Charles de Gaulle was born 11/22/1891, and he died 11/6/1970. 11/22 is also the assassination date of John F. Kennedy. Erich von Manstein, one of the great German strategists in World War II, was actually born in Poland on November 24, 1887. He was adopted as a baby by an aristocratic Prussian military family. He also had an uncle named Abram von Manstein, who reportedly converted to Christianity. Among the Jewish, the Nazi leadership who claimed to have, or who was suspected of having Jewish heritage, was Hitler, who supposedly had a grandmother who was Jewish. Heinrich Heydrich, who was suspected of being Jewish. Goring was accused of having Jewish heritage, and he said, "If it's true, you can call me Meyer." Among the audio extracts we have from our historical archives, we're going to start with General Montgomery, whose famous speech to the British Army on the eve of battle at El Alamein.
"We will stand and fight here. If we can't stay here alive, then let us stay here dead. I want to impress on everyone that the bad times are over. They are finished. Our mandate from the Prime Minister is to destroy the Axis forces in North Africa. I have seen it, written on half a sheet of notepaper. It can be done, and it will be done, beyond any possibility of doubt. What I have done is to get over to you the atmosphere in which we will now work and fight. You must see to it that this new atmosphere permeates right down through the Eighth Army, right down to the most junior private soldier. The great point to remember is that we are going to finish with this chap Rommel once and for all. Now, my forecast of this battle is that there will be three definite stages. First, the break-in, to the enemy's positions, then the dogfight, and then the breakout. We will do the break-in on the night of the 23rd of October. The dogfight battle will then begin, and it will involve hard and continuous fighting. I believe that the dogfight battle will become a hard-killing match and will last for 10 or 12 days. The enemy will crack. Then will come the breakout. And that will lead to the end of Rommel in Africa.
Now, Montgomery was deputy commander to Eisenhower at the invasion of Normandy. And, of course, he didn't think much of Eisenhower. He did propose, and Eisenhower went along with it, with capturing the bridges across the Rhine. And he claimed that he'll roll into Germany and end the war within 6 months. Well, there's a famous movie which depicts, it's very accurate, depicts what actually happened, called A Bridge Too Far. I highly recommend it. Now, here is Rommel talking about the Africa Corps, and unfortunately, it's in German, and we can't, we didn't get a English translation. Here is one of it.
Griffen wir bei Michili am 6. April 1941 an. Ja, wir stießen sogar mit Teilen unserer Streitmacht gleichzeitig nach Derna, um doch schon die Küstenstraße in Besitz zu bekommen und dem Feind den weiteren Rückzug aus der Cyrenaika zu verlegen. Es folgten harte Kämpfe am Gas Madauer, vor allem im Mai, die beinahe mit Kampfverhältnissen von Verdun zu vergleichen sind. Aber der deutsche Soldat und neben ihm auch die italienischen Kameraden haben diese schwierigen Zeiten überstanden, haben jeden Versuch, die Festung Turku zu entsetzen, abgewehrt oder uns die Stimmung an der ägyptischen Grenze zu entreißen. Und es ist mir dieser Entschluss bitter schwer gefallen, Turku freizugeben, das wir nun über ein halbes Jahr belagert hatten, und vor dem Feind zu weichen. Und man macht sich keinen Begriff von den Schwierigkeiten, die ich damals hatte, schon deshalb, weil ein großer Teil meiner Truppen gar nicht motorisiert war.
Rommel talks about the German defeat in North Africa. Oh, we may have a problem with this. We will cancel that. We'll do that another day. Okay, here is here is General Pat. Oh, we have a problem there. We'll cancel it out. Here is General Patton talking about what he did to Germany. Okay. Well, we're going to repeat the General Patton and the Lipizzaners. That was requested again.
The Lipizzaners were not so involved in famous events, but they always were used as riding horses and driving horses for the imperial family in Austria. But anyway, I want to tell you a little bit about this very big event that happened in the last weeks of the Second World War. You must know that during this time, by the German government, a big Lipizzaner stud farm was established in Hostau. At this time, they decided to collect all Lipizzaner horses spread over Europe, and you must know that there was a big number of Lipizzaner stud farms in Romania, in Czechoslovakia, in Yugoslavia, in Italy, and in Austria. In that place in Czechoslovakia called Hostau, and when the Germans had to go back, Hostau was in the situation that the Soviet army was soon. And it was the idea of the Americans, in agreement, in cooperation with the German director of the Stadtwan, who was Lieutenant Colonel Rodowski at this time, to save these horses. And against the Treaty of Yalta that said that, that this part of Czechoslovakia only is allowed to be touched by Russians, the American troops, and it was the 2nd Cavalry under the Colonel Reed, who was the commander of this battle group, under the order of General Patton, who was the commanding general, went to Hostar and moved in several transport all those, these were approximately, I think, 1,000 mares, colts and fillies, into the American zone. And the second thing was that these horses then were selected by representatives of the original states from where they were coming. These men selected their horses on account of the different brands and marks, and then the horses went back to their original homelands. And if this wouldn't have been done by the American army, we can convince that this race wouldn't exist, because only with the stallions we had still in the American zone, because Podolsky, who was the commander in these days, brought the Lipizzan stallions from Vienna to Upper Austria, where the Americans were at this time.
Now we're going to play Charles de Gaulle Thanks America for Saving Europe and Asia.
I want to thank again the American people for the magnificent effort which, under the leadership of your two great presidents, Roosevelt and Truman, have made possible the victory. Without you, Americans, there would have been no future for Europe and Asia, but a terrible servitude. There would have been neither freedom nor justice for the world. Long live the United States of America.
De Gaulle used to like Jacqueline Kennedy, and her when she spoke French to him, she really charmed him. Now, here's one of the great German field marshals, Erich von Manstein, a.k.a. Lewinsky. Even though he had Jewish heritage, and when he fought in Russia, he was told to help von Paulus break out of Stalingrad, but von Paulus refused to evacuate. And he refused to disobey Hitler, and he became was captured and survived the war in captivity in Russia. And in the 50s, he was repatriated to East Germany, where he died. He was also a Roman Catholic. He said he wouldn't commit suicide. Hitler named him a field marshal, thinking that there had been no German field marshal who had surrendered in German history that would commit suicide or be killed on the field of battle. Paulus' excuse was, I'm a Roman Catholic, I can't do this. Now, von Manstein, just like the Russian communist Jewish Bolsheviks, and he went along with Hitler's denying the German military recruits their due process rights. This has happened here in America, and it's not, nobody's looking at it. Anyway, he was indicted at Nuremberg, the war trials, and he was tried as a war criminal, and he was convicted. After the war, here's excerpts from that trial.
Carrying out these plans, didn't the OKW issue several orders to the commanding generals that were quite extraordinary? I refer, among other things, to the commissar order that you mentioned.
Der Kommissarbefehl betraf ja letzten Endes nur die Beseitigung von Elementen, Teilen der Bevölkerung an sich nichts zu tun, sondern war höchstens die Beseitigung einer gewissen Klasse von Gefolge der feindlichen Wehrmacht, bei denen der unter in denen er Politiker vielleicht, aber nicht weniger Soldaten sah.
And I refer also to Hitler's well-known order of 13 May 1941, which restricted the use of courts-martial in cases where German soldiers had committed crimes against the civilian population. Wasn't that part of this same plan?
Sicherlich ist das, wenn der Plan bei ihm bestand, auch ein Teil dieses Plans gewesen. Aber dieser Plan ist ja von uns nicht befolgt worden, denn, wie gesagt, haben wir ja aufgrund des Befehls des Oberbefehlshabers des Heeres durch unsere Gerichtsbarkeit die Ausschreitungen im Interesse der Macht, dass er die politischen Kommissare für schädlich hielt und für Feinde für unsere Feinde hielt. Das ist selbstverständlich, das hat er ja auch in dem Kommissarbefehl zum Ausdruck gebracht. Wie weit er, abgesehen von dem Kommissarbefehl, an die Vernichtung solcher Elemente dachte, das weiß ich nicht. Das hat er uns nie gesagt. Wir haben auch keinen Befehl darüber bekommen.
And didn't he also think that the Jews should be exterminated for exactly the same reasons?
Das mag sein, aber er hat zum Beispiel mit mir nicht ein einziges Mal über die Judenfrage gesprochen.
You didn't know anything about that.
Nein, ich wusste nichts von dem Plan der Ausrottung.
I'd like to ask you a few more questions about the Einsatzgruppen and Einsatzkommandos. It was to assist in exterminating the commissars and the Jews in accordance with these policies.
Nein, das wusste ich nicht.
Was there an Einsatzgruppe attached to your army, to the 11th Army?
Ja, diese Einsatzgruppe ist ja wie Ohlendorf ausgesagt hat, im Bereich meiner Armee tätig gewesen.
I think you told us earlier that the Einsatzgruppe was entirely under the orders of Himmler for operational purposes. I think you also told us that Himmler was a bitter enemy of the army. What did you do when you learned that there was an Einsatzgruppen attached to your army? What were you told about it?
Mir ist seinerzeit vorgetragen worden, dass, ich weiß gar nicht mal, ob der Name Einsatzgruppe dabei gefallen ist, dass eben von den Organen der SS in den Operationsgebieten.
Commander-in-Chief, is a Commander-in-Chief pleased to have an independent unit operating in his area, which he can't order around? Is that customary, and do you like it?
Nein, man hat es natürlich nicht gern. Aber es gab ja noch sehr viele andere unabhängige Einheiten. Ich möchte nur betonen, dass die Luftwaffe uns in keiner Weise unterstand. Wenn wir zusammen im Kampf arbeiteten, mussten wir uns mit ihnen verabreden. Irgendwelche Befehle konnten wir ihnen nicht geben. Sie unterstand uns auch nicht gerichtlich. Ebenso war es mit der UT, ebenso war es mit den Organisationen des Wirtschaftsstabes Ost, ebenso war es mit der Polizei. Kurz, wir waren ja praktisch auf
Now that was the voice of the American prosecutor Telford Taylor. After Patton came back to the United States to be reunited with his wife, Beatrice Ayers, not related to Bill Ayers, I don't think. Anyway, he gave a famous speech in Los Angeles. He was introduced by General Doolittle, and here is that very interesting speech.
Your Honor, the Mayor, General Doolittle, soldiers, ladies and gentlemen, coming over here, there was a very great lesson. The first 4 hours, we passed over a destroyed land, utterly destroyed. You who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top. That's what Germany looks like. That's what Austria looks like. That's what any place that the 8th Air Force and the 3rd Army worked on looks like. You must remember this, that from Brest to various towns in southern Germany and Austria, whose names I can't pronounce, but whose places I have removed. The trail of the 3rd Army and the 19th Tactical Air Command and the 8th Air Force is marked by more than 40,000 white crosses, 40,000 dead Americans.
Yeah, so that's an excerpt from the Patton speech. Now, among the public corruption, and we're going to get into this more, you've heard Charles Manson was granted the right to marry in prison. He's not going to have a honeymoon outside prison. He's not even going to have conjugal rights if he's capable. A lot of people thought he should be castrated for what he did, the sexual mutilation of all those people at and dismembering that baby from, Anyway, Mabel Poontang was a woman who emigrated from Red China, and she came through Boston to San Francisco and got involved with Asian politics. She was getting campaign contributions from Chinese stores and sweatshops, and didn't do anything to help the people, the women, the poor women who were working there. It's such a scandal. Anyway, she was involved with one of these bogus nonprofits called Community Resource Development, something like that, and, collected a salary there. She got elected to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and then she was involved in a scandal at City College. But what was interesting on her campaign contribution record, she claimed that she got a contribution from a Manson plumbing company. Well, when we checked, there was no such companies, not in the phone book. That's not unusual because of these campaign contributions, they lie all the time. And then we checked with the California Department of prisons, and were they training Manson to be a plumber. We've had plumbers before in politics, but this wasn't one of them. In our upcoming features, we will have a question, is Pope Francis doing the Vatican rag? Francis is apparently the most liberal pope since John the 23rd, and we're still going through the problems with that, with some of the things that he did, John the 23rd, and the nuns got involved in a lot of weirdo stuff and lesbianism, and of course some people said, let's have none of that. We'll get into that Monday, and anyway, we'll end with our usual have a safe weekend with we're going to end with our usual thing, politics and poker. Excuse me. And this is the anniversary tomorrow death assassination of President John Kennedy. I remember I was in the office at the time, and I just come in, and someone said, the radio said, John Kennedy had been assassinated in Dallas. And I said, we don't do those things. And it was true. The LBJ became president, and he declared a week of national mourning, and we were all glued to the TV, and we're still it's one of those assassinations like Lincoln and others that never been as satisfied the public as to whether that was a conspiracy or not. Anyway, we'll end with our usual politics and poker. Have a safe weekend. And you poor folks back east, I know you're going to be migrating out west if you can afford it.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay,
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Info.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. These are games for children, these are game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try, Michael, when you think of it, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Safe weekend. It's Peter Paul Brazola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. Try to stay warm, stay safe, and if you're coming to San Francisco, those of you who can migrate out here away from the winter back in Buffalo, you'll be shuffling away from Buffalo. Don't wear flowers in your hair. Wear a crash helmet. We have an epidemic of reckless driving that's going on. Reckless driving, motorcycling. Pedestrians don't obey the law. It's a anything goes attitude, as one time Police Chief Frank Jordan claimed that stated that one of our most corrupt mayors, Art Agnos, that was, represented his administration, and it's still going on today. These people are like Dracula, failed to put a stake through their heart at midnight. Peter Paul Bozzola, good night.